Item one is an application for subdivision rezoning for 333 Waterfront Drive under file DASZ 8 of 2011 in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and Development Procedures Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following item will be heard at the same time, namely item two, which is an application for conditional use at the same premises under file DCU 118554/2011D.
First, we'll call the applicant forward to give us an overview of what the application is about and to make their presentation.
We do have some supplementary information in our four packages. I pass those up.
Yep. Mike, do you have our copy as well?
A folded copy?
Maybe as you get started, guys, you can state your names and address for the record.
Sure.
Yep.
My name is Bill Cody. I'm with Sunstone Resort Communities and Sunstone Booking Hotels. Address is 475 Dover Court Drive.
Michael Evans, Sunstone Resort Communities and Sunstone Boutique Hotels, 475 Dover Court Drive.
So just, guys, so you know, we've got, I'm not going to use the clock here on 10 minutes,
yep.
But
yep. 10 minutes.
If you can try and keep it to about 10 minutes, as you're aware, you also get a chance to come back and rebut at the end. Sure. I'm going to try and keep everybody to about 10 minutes.
You got it. Okay, well, good morning, and thank you for scheduling us in this morning. I guess we'll try to get our presentation done in about 10 minutes and maybe have time to answer a few questions, unless you want us to do it 8 minutes and answer questions.
Just carry on.
Okay.
We'll get to the question. We'll get to that at the end of the presentation.
Well, as we know, we're here to request the committee's support to change the zoning on the parking lot portion of the site on Waterfront Drive to allow for the hotel, small hotel, and the restaurant rejuvenation and redevelopment. And, you know, I think that the from going back in time, our objective after reviewing the original proposal call from 07-08 to develop this site, and once we had established that there was an opportunity, which sort of came from our residents and our association with the Sky Waterfront Development across the street that we've been working on since 06, and people asking us who we've sold condos to over the years, what's happening with that site? What's happening with the intake structure, the Harbor Master building, what's happening with the gravel parking lot. We watched two or three proposals come and go, and then we decided this is an opportunity that we should investigate and look at, and we determined that the hotel and the public space around the hotel was going to be a very viable, and it's turned out to be viable, opportunity. So I think what really the issue is it's a building in the park, and that was, once we got our design team involved, that was the key criteria from Mike and I and Sunstone to pass on to the development team. This is a development that sits in the middle of these two parks. The land was originally, when we investigated, zoned appropriately on the internet, and it has been over the years gone back and forth from park to some other sector. But right now it is needing this change. And so we have the park here proper, the park to the north proper, and the gravel parking lot in between. And we've got some images in our package that show that. But the building has been situated between a hard easement on the north side. The building could not be pushed any further to the north because of the hydro easements. When we did Sky, the hydro moved the hydro lines under the road. And so the hydro lines start right on the edge of the building, and then the site proper ends on the south side at the other end of the building. So it's really confined by two constructs. What we've done is we've created this linear building, low rise, and it really allows for the park to continue on both sides. So what the design team was challenged to come up with was an appropriate building in the park. And we started talking about the pavilion in the park at Assiniboine Park. We certainly talked about the uses in the forks. It is an urban park. It's a people park intentionally, I think. And those were the real criteria, to make it a better people place, to make it a place where people can go when they're in the park, wayfare, stop, have an activity. In this case, the restaurant and the hotel have a very highly developed south end, which projects onto the park. This is the image that projects to the south. Again, the public space to the south. We will furnish it. We'll light it. It will definitely be a place where people can go at night. The restaurant portion will be open during the day. It'll be open for breakfast. It'll be open for coffee. It'll be open for croissants. It'll be open for ice cream. It'll be open for takeout food. We'll have tables and chairs all the way around the Harbor Master Building. Well, two or three. We don't need a lot. But there will be a little outdoor plaza between the two buildings that is licensed, and there'll be all kinds of unlicensed space where people can sit and enjoy a bite to eat in the park. It'll be a meeting place in the park. So I guess, you know, it's intended to complement the park in an active way. Much like the buildings in the Forks, that's a people urban park, and maybe distinct from Whittier Park, which is a more passive park. We really think that because of Sky, and because of all of the other residential development that's been encouraged by the city and the private sector in this neighborhood, that something's needed in the park, a place to go, a place to even suntan. All kinds of passive activities can happen in the park around this building. This glass portion of the park is transparent. You'll be able to see through it. It will be lit 24/7, and it will definitely, I think, enhance the safety, characteristic of the park. It'll definitely be a safe place to go. This will all be lit up at night, to some extent, low lighting. And I think it will encourage people to be there, people to meet. And that's really the essence of our application, I think, is it's a place in the park for people to go. It's not meant to change the use of the park other than create a place to stop and enjoy your park experience. Mike, do you want to jump in?
Of course, I've read the report by the administration. We have no problem with the content therein, and I just wanted to say that another one of the challenges that Bill alluded to, but I would like to sort of add to, is the importance of the trail system and the connectivity and our active transportation network. We spoke to certain folks in the planning department and others. As we've been working on this for a year, and that message kept coming home very loud and clear to us, and so we've really concentrated on that in two ways, both in behind, if you will, on the riverside. This pathway continues; it goes through this piazza area, this public space Bill was referring to, but also it does continue across the front of the hotel. So it's very, very connected to the system, and we think it'll be quite a significant enhancement. Because, as we know, it is a rather unsightly gravel lot at the present time.
The landscape architect has come up with some really interesting lighting that will really enhance the walk on both sides of the building. There'll be some moving light as you walk by. The lights will change. It's going to be a very interesting, exciting place to travel past. I think that, you know, we can... I'd like to just whip through this package with you because we don't have much time. The first schedule is Schedule 1, and that's a letter of endorsement for the project from Sky Waterfront Condominium Executive Corporation, the Condominium Board. And it really just highlights that people have asked us what's going to happen there. They have a sense that it will improve safety. Safety is a concern. And it will definitely be a place where people who live in the neighborhood can go for coffee, go for breakfast, go for lunch, go for a glass of wine. The second note, marked with big two, is a letter from Center Venture. We worked very closely with Center Venture on this proposal over the last 6 months, and it's been a very, very positive experience. I think that Center Venture has done a fabulous job on our downtown over the last couple of years, as you all know. That's a letter of support. The third attachment with the big three on it is just the letter we received from the city council saying that the lease agreement that we've been negotiating with the administration was approved by council many months ago for this use and this type of endeavor.
Subject to obviously
zoning, right.
Today's events, yeah.
Package four is very interesting, and it was something that we weren't sure if we should do, and it's, you can appreciate from our point of view, it was high risk to go to UDAC when we didn't have to at this point. But we took the entire package from UDAC with our designers, and the comments came back very positive. And the important part about UDAC is it's a cross-section of professionals and lay people, and they have, I think, the city's best interest at heart, and they were very positive about the proposal. As we all know, it's very difficult to come up with comments like that. The illustration mark number 5 shows the site in plan, as we have on the board here. And what it does show is it shows sky, the extent of sky to about here. It shows the pump house to about here. And then it shows the other Center Venture residential proposal called Winter starting here. And what you can see is that the park, the changes, is way over in front of sky. And that's where the gravel is. The park, as you see it in these air photos and you, on the top of the page, does not change in any way as a result of this proposal. The only thing that changes is the gravel parking lot, not the park. And we think it's an enhancement, and we've worked very hard to try to make a complementary offering to the park. So the park does not change. Again, the subject site was zoned. The proposal call was out for commercial and retail opportunities 2 or 3 years ago. And this is just one idea of how that gravel parking lot can be redeveloped. Page 6 shows the gravel parking lot as it is, and again, the relationship to Waterfront Drive. Page 7 is the air photos of the park that does not change in front of the other Center Venture proposal call winners. And then Schedule 8 is just our press release that we sent out about 3 months ago to, again, inform the public of what we were attempting to do. Page 9 through about 15 is the boards, these actually boards, that we used at public open houses at Sky, at the Forks public open house, and we also met with RED, the Residents for the Exchange Residents Committee, and we had full disclosure at all of those meetings. And then I think the last one is just the original proposal call for the site from 07-08. So that's really the nutshell of where we've been coming from. Again, I think we can talk about parking. The proposal has ample parking. We've got a professional operator. Traffic, you know, it's going to be attended by taxis and rental cars. But really, it's a pedestrian-friendly site. We've encouraged through another proposal bike-sharing program that could be offered here. Certainly, there's lots of places to sit outside and enjoy yourself. Again, it's really meant to be a pavilion in the park, a jewel in the park, and it's meant to be a place where you can go and meet people. And again, distinct from a very passive, forested park, this is a park.
Are there any questions at this time, Jenny?
Thank you for your presentation. Now, you said you met with the Exchange District Residents Group, and you said there was full disclosure, but was there support from the residents group? Was there concerns?
Yeah, we met them one evening. They had one of their events. I can't remember, about 40 or so folks showed up. There was actually 3 projects were presented that evening, our hotel and the second phase of Sky, the U-Cube next phase, and the H2O project. So it was an opportunity. We had these boards. We did a longer version of this presentation. There was an opportunity for Q&A of all the projects. So there was never a formal request for, are we going to have a vote on this, Councillor?
Mm-hmm.
It was just generally the feedback.
Very few questions, though. People said thank you, and
okay.
Yeah, but I think it would have been hard to get a consensus of like that.
Okay, and what about you mentioned parking? How is it that you're going to handle the parking issues?
Well, we've been talking to our operator partners, and 76 rooms. We have 67. Sorry, we have 28 spots on site, and they say for most hotels that's about the right ratio.
And is that a surface lot there?
That's a surface lot, paved and screened with new landscaping.
Yeah, so that's what you'll be, and you think that'll be adequate?
That's exactly what the industry is telling us, exactly.
All right. And you say the access to the path for cycling and walking and all that, can you just maybe elaborate a little more on that?
Absolutely.
Is it going to be affected in any way, either positive or negative?
Right. This is the existing path here in light gray.
Mm-hmm.
also shows
how
it works in the back.
Yeah, that gives you more the lifestyle character. So as you get to where it stops now and turns into the gravel parking lot, we will completely turn that into more of a plaza, public area, public seating, public lighting, maybe a water feature. There will be a small licensed area here, but everything else is public. And there will be tables and chairs, and you can buy food at this restaurant and go take it and eat it out here. You can bring food from home and leave the office building and bring it here. So the path continues on, and it goes on behind the parking area, and that's a good illustration of it right there. So it's much, much improved, and it's continuous and links up to the nice part of the park to the north again. On the front, this one's existing, and again, we pick it up. And there'll be some bollard lighting and interesting lighting. And this is sort of that forecourt that you'd see at most hotels where there's a drop-off zone. We hope to do some heated paving in here and back here. So that in the winter, that paving kind of has the steam and the lighting. And, you know, it's a nice place to go in the winter and a nice drop-off zone. And it continues on, and then you pick up the existing sidewalk again very easily.
Well,
but this is the main piece of work right here, this public plaza, which is, I think, illustrated in this one here. So although the hotel is very limited service, it's basically kind of a cool Holiday Inn Express is the package. But it does have a boardroom. It does have a nice lounge behind all that glass. And if you're having an event, you can spill out onto this plaza. You can go back and forth from the restaurant.
The lounge is a lounge space. It's not a lounge as in a cocktail lounge.
Right.
Nothing licensed in.
You'd have to get an occasional permit to use that space.
Oh, so it's for events as opposed to just being
a
lounge.
Meetings like this.
It's a very small, it's a relatively small boardroom, 12, 14.
More like that image there at the bottom. You see people from a corporate event.
So it's not a bar you're opening up?
No.
Not in the hotel. Only the restaurant has a bar component.
The restaurant has a bar component. And how large is that going to be?
About 100 seats.
100 seats.
It's very casual, very low price points.
Is it a cocktail lounge type of bar? Or?
It's basically coffee shop looking, like a fancy coffee shop looking restaurant.
Okay.
So it's going to be comfy coffee shop. It'll have the glass cases where you can come and get a wrap and take it with you. There'll be what do you call those things, smoothies that you can stand and wait for.
But it's going to be licensed as a cocktail lounge?
Though? Yes.
So people can have a drink.
Yeah.
And was there any concerns expressed about that aspect in terms of the residential neighborhood?
Well, we've developed Sky across the street, and we actually worked with Center Venture to put some restrictions on the redevelopment of the pump house. So there's a caveat on the pump house about no disco, lots of things. You can't go there. So we were very involved in creating that list, and we've got the same attitude about this. No loud music, no outside music, period. No live music, period. Really, if you think of a nice coffee shop, that's really the atmosphere. And and that's the intent. But we do want to be able for breakfast, because it's important for the hotel, and we think important for the neighborhood, too. The changing neighborhood.
Okay. Well, that's my questions for now.
Gord, Jeff, anything at this time?
No.
Okay, if you gentlemen will stand down. I've got a couple more folks here in support of the application I'd like to call up.
I think in closing we could just add, councillors, that we've read the planner's report, and we really thank the planner for all the detail that they put into that report, and we support all of their comments, really, the ones that are, sort of a little bit weavy and the ones that are straight to the point that they think is a vibrant use. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Next up in support, and I just remind folks that if you are here in support or in opposition, if what you're thinking about saying has already been said, you don't have to come up and give a presentation. You're more than welcome to, but you can just acknowledge that you're here in support or in opposition, or if you're here for information, that you received the information that you were looking for. So next up, I've got Ross McGowan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. My name is Ross McGowan. I'm President and CEO of Sun Venture Development Corporation. Here to provide our unconditional support for Sunstone and their proposed development of what we call the Harbor Master. As you're aware, this project has been in the works for some time, but certainly is following hot on the heels of a proposal call that was issued back in 2006, and we've been working with a variety of proponents to commercialize this site. Matter of fact, anecdotally, I designed Stephen Juga Park in 1984, and it was always envisioned that there would be development at this site, whether it be the development of the Alexander Docks or a redevelopment of the Harbor Master building. We're involved right now in about over $100 million worth of redevelopment in the what we're referring to as the cultural district. There's over 350 residential units coming, mixed-use parking structure, and we see this as being a tremendous complement to all of that, and in fact anchoring on the east side the entire cultural district expansion. This project will not only generate interest from outside of the city, but certainly within the city, and provides an excellent connection between the Forks on the south and proposed development that is likely to occur in the next number of years up in Point Douglas, and providing additional private sector opportunities there, I think will only enhance our riverbank system. So without belaboring my point, we have worked with this group. I think they bring credibility to the table, experience, and what they say they're going to do will surely, in fact, hold them to doing it. So any questions?
Yeah,
I do have a question. Now, we've had... over the years of working on this site at this committee, different things have come forward, and I know there's a group of the Victoria Park group that is, this is a very important site in terms of the history of the park and the history regarding the 1919 strike, and it was a very, very important part of our history. And I'm just wondering how that issue is being acknowledged, addressed, what happened in regards to that. I know there's people, there's been discussions about that.
Yes, I'm glad you raised that, Councillor. In fact, I had a meeting several weeks ago with Sandra Gessler, and I believe Sandra's here today. As you may well be aware, as part of the whole master plan that we prepared for the cultural district, we have acknowledged the importance of the 1919 strike. There's more elements to it than just Victoria Park. There's the whole Elgin Street riot that occurred. Some of the people died in the 1919 strike, and we're proposing that we commemorate that at Elgin and Lilly. We've also indicated that there's some green space opportunities on the west side of the parking structure right at Lilly, where some form of commemoration could occur, as well as right on Waterfront Drive in front of the pump house. There's some opportunities there. I think there's been discussions with developers of a commemorative element incorporated into the park, but we do not see any need to transfer further property to the development. Sky Waterfront is built on the park. Pump House is, in fact, in that general location. And I think preserving and protecting the event is of importance as the site itself. So we're certainly prepared to continue to work with the Victoria Park Group and find a solution that would provide that important commemoration.
Okay, other questions? Okay, you can stand down, Mr. McGowan. Next up in support, I have Jackie Frost. Jackie, are you here?
Hello. I live at 340 Waterfront Drive, and I'm the president of the board of directors there. And I wanted to say on behalf of the board of directors that we are all definitely in favor of the hotel going up across the street, as well as the restaurant and the shopping. And then I don't want to say this on behalf of the directors, but just me personally, there's been huge safety concerns in our building, tremendous safety concerns in our building, to the point where we've hired security guards on staff overnight, three nights a week, to the point where we've extended the hours of our off-site custodian. There's been break-ins right through the front door of our condominium. And I'm hoping that with particularly a hotel, which is open 24 hours a day, that it'll bring staff and light and traffic in a positive way to that neighborhood, and hopefully have a positive influence on the safety of our condominium. Also, one last thing. I'm outside at that park like three times a day with my pet, and it is not being used. I see more homeless people in the park than I do residents of the community from my own condominium, or other people from the condominium for that matter. The majority of people that I run into are homeless, sleeping on the benches, or there's like a big walkway that goes around the restaurant. People are sleeping in there. I think there's a couple people that live in there sometimes. And I think it's a gorgeous neighborhood, obviously. I wouldn't have bought my condo down there had I not thought so. And it's not being used, and we know everybody likes to eat, and we know everybody likes to shop. And I think that the hotel will be a good asset, too. So that's kind of all I wanted to say.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. You can stand down. Okay, I don't have anybody else here listed in support. Do we have anybody else here who hasn't submitted that wants to speak in support of this application? No? Okay, we'll move into those in opposition. Understand Sandra Gessler is here with the group and you want to sort of go in order. So Sandra, maybe I'll ask you to come up first. Where's Sandra?
Right here.
You can come up there and then just give me the names of the other folks that are with your group so I can get this stuff in order here.
There are five of us and we have coordinated in advance because we all have different...
So what are the names?
Dennis Lewicki, Dave Daniluk, Al Brownridge, Richard Milgram, and myself. I'll speak last.
Okay, go ahead.
Would you like to?
Oh, you're going to speak last. Okay, so who's so just say your name and address so we can get it.
Dennis Lewicki, 70 Fletcher Crescent, Winnipeg.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for letting us speak and speaking in opposition to the both the zoning variation and variance and the hotel. Basically, and we're speaking on behalf of the Friends of Victoria Park, you can go to our website, victoriapark1919.ca, for more information. Basically, we believe that the city has a responsibility to encourage and permit development along Waterfront Drive that responds to the area's heritage, environment, and social qualities. The existing zoning allows for such development, and the application for a zoning variance to build a hotel complex will not respect these qualities that we think are important to all Winnipeggers. The Winnipeg Charter sets out the criteria for permitting zoning changes, and I'll just paraphrase because I know you're all familiar with these requirements of Section 247, Subsection 3. A variance is permitted if it is consistent with Plan Winnipeg and other plans, does not create substantial adverse effects, is the minimum modification of a zoning bylaw required to relieve injurious effect, and is compatible with the area in which the property is situated. We put forward to you today that the application for rezoning does not meet these requirements, and in our opinion, there are better development options for that property that are consistent with the zoning and the interests of Winnipeggers. The current zoning of Riverbank property is very clear. Quoting from the Downtown Zoning Bylaw 2004, this sector is intended primarily for the use and enjoyment of the public. Uses supportive of and accessory to a continuous linear parkway and public gathering nodes are encouraged. The area being considered today is was rezoned Riverbank in 2005, and at the time, this committee looked at a number of existing plans for the area and concluded in the administrative report of the department that, and I'll quote extensively here, together these policies and guidelines foresee an interconnected linear parkway system. The parkway system provides public access along the riverbanks, integrated with the adjacent neighborhoods via streets and pathways linked to the rivers at a number of activity nodes. These nodes have many forms and encourage public gathering at a variety of intensities, ranging from casual viewpoints to programmed public activity areas such as the Forks. The Alexander Dock site is envisaged as a key focal point for inviting visitors into the Exchange District and connecting Exchange District denizens to the North Winnipeg Parkway system. None of these policies and guidelines prevents or prohibits development of riverbank properties in general or the Alexander Docks site in particular. On the other hand, they do encourage development of the subject properties to be a form and function that strengthens public access opportunities to, from, and along the Red River, and that its operations have a clear connection to its riverbank location, end of quote. We and many citizens who know about the heritage value of this land propose development that can adhere to the city's past and present plans, and as the land has tremendous historic value and a hotel complex does not respect. A document prepared by the Planning Department in 2005 called Alexander Dock's Vision and Development Parameters states, this site has historical significance to the settlement of Winnipeg. to its early public park history, to its evolution as a major North American trade center and the inland fishery, unquote. For example, this next year, 2012, we'll see the bicentenary of the 1812 establishment of the Red River settlement of the Earl of Selkirk. This bicentenary has been referred to by the president of the Manitoba Historical Society as one of the most important historical events in the history of Manitoba. We believe that the developer's petition lacks merit. The developer of the hotel complex is applying for a change in zoning because the proposed hotel does not meet any of the current criteria, nor does it augment any of the historic and social potential of the area. The developer is arguing on key factors that we've just heard that the hotel will not cause concern for local residents. For example, we challenged the proposal that says parking is ample for the hotel. It may be ample for the number of rooms, but does not deal with the resident, restaurant parking, nor for occasional event parking. It's going to be a big noisemaker. The proposed restaurant is supposedly set behind the hotel, providing some screening for noise by the hotel itself. But we all know that this is unlikely, as sound travels over and around buildings, especially at night when residents require the silence of the river and the area. While the southeast view from the condos will not be affected, the northeast view of the river will be encumbered for some residents. In fact, it seems that one tree is going to be removed to allow a view for the residents, so they are accommodating that. As well, the developer is arguing that they have provided unencumbered pedestrian access along the riverfront behind the hotel, and they are building a restaurant for everyone. However, this complex will only be an interruption along an entire riverfront drive from the Forks to Point Douglas, significantly altering the natural and scenic beauty and personality of the area. We think there are also better alternative developments for Waterfront Drive. We have consulted residents, and we believe many of the concerns about the hotel would not hinder building a similar complex north along River Waterfront Drive and on the west side. Also, there are proposals for development along the Red River that would retain its cultural heritage while providing local residents and the city with some revenue. The 2008 proposal by the Labor History Project that we brought forward, for example, but that you turned down, could have met all the city requirements then and still does. In summary and to conclude, the variance application before you today is not consistent with city plans, does create a substantial adverse effect for local residents, is a major modification to the zoning bylaw, and is not at all compatible with the historic, social, and ecological characteristics of the area. The planning report before you states that and again I'll quote, "The continuity of our parkway system is not compromised by the change in zoning. In fact, it may be enhanced through this proposal. It could be argued that the proposed development is better aligned with the riverbank sector intent of private development that is integrated with the functions of public space, such as accessory restaurants, retail, or services," unquote. However, there is no substantial evidence to back up this opinion, while there is substantial argument to contradict the assertion. Simply put, the zoning variance and a hotel complex on the east side of Waterfront Drive does not add anything to the area's character or development. It will not enhance the area as the developers claim. In fact, the hotel complex will interfere with the area's heritage and social qualities. If the city approves the variance, it will be putting commercial development before community development. I'd like to conclude with reading a blog comment that came to us from one of the residents, and I think it's very eloquent. And I'll quote the entire blog. "My wife and I recently retired and purchased a condo on Waterfront Drive. We really enjoy being part of the community in the Exchange District. Yes, we bought our bikes and love to explore whenever we can along the many trails that the city has provided. It is especially nice to witness how popular Juba Park and the rest of the green space is to Winnipeg families. On many days, it is a steady stream of bicycles, baby strollers, wedding parties, and boats on the Red River. From the forts to the ball field to Juba Park, the theme has been focused and consistent, relaxation and family fun. Now it appears that the city has been distracted and wants to see a hotel erected on riverbank. Please, there are numerous opportunities for hotels on the west side of River Waterfront Drive. Continue to develop the riverfront for the exclusive use and enjoyment of Winnipeggers, Manitobans, and their families. Don't get distracted with words like boutique. History will thank you. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah, Dennis, you mentioned an alternative proposal that you said was turned down. Did you submit that? Will you submit it again to remind us, or can you say anything about it?
Can you clarify that?
Because I know I was here, but I'm just trying to recall the details. It was
to use the Harbor Masters building again as a bit of a museum and restaurant. We had plans for both. And it was to recognize the whole history of the area, not just the strike, as Mr. McGowan has spoken about, but the cultural history and the significance to the community. And we thought also at the time it was two lots, lots A and B, that were being considered for development. And so, in effect, our proposal was going to be a significant bridge between Juba Park north to where the Scottish Memorial is. So it was a plan to maintain the continuity, both geographic as well as social.
And why was it turned down?
I'd like to ask. It was turned down. We brought it here. It was a viable proposal, we thought, but it was turned down. Later on, we heard that it was Rod Zimmer's proposal that was being considered, mm-hmm. and that he then failed to meet the requirements, and that project was left in limbo.
Well, I can get more details from the staff, too.
And if you check out our website, the history is there, plus other articles about the area.
Okay. That's it for now. Thanks, Dennis.
Andrew, do you have next on your list?
Dave Downlaw has some comments. Hello, Chairman, Councillors, CDC. My address is 115 Spence Street, and I am a new member of the Friends of Victoria Park. The community in the East Exchange District is young and unorganized in comparison to other neighborhoods. The residential population is still growing. The process to get to this point where private development is being considered on city-owned land is taking advantage of this community's immaturity. We all know that in a couple of years, after all the efforts to create more housing in the South Point Douglas and East Exchange community, this proposal would not be entertained for a moment and would not go anywhere. If it is going to slip under the radar of the community and the citizens of Winnipeg, this is the time and the process that will let such a mistake happen. So what is the recommendation provided to the decision makers at City Hall? To change the zoning to allow this to happen for these reasons. The vacant former Harbor Master building will be reused as a restaurant. A restaurant will be a valuable amenity, and the project will provide another 24-hour presence, thereby improving the safety to the park and the paths. And the last point, it is a higher and better use than the existing gravel parking lot. These improvements are all true. If one is to improve upon a gravel parking lot, a hot dog stand is an improvement too. These four reasons that support the administration's report can be achieved without a boutique hotel and are, in anyone's opinion, quite weak. I think, as the resident pointed out, the safety concerns, I don't think a boutique hotel is the solution to safety concerns in a park, but that's for the police service to explain. So this is why the city is actually considering the end of their praiseworthy development on Waterfront Drive, to chop the continuity of the riverbank and, as the report repeats, allow piecemeal planning that is not part of a district plan that understands the value of public riverbank property? Really? The future of South Point Douglas and East Exchange have never looked brighter, and the Waterfront Drive developments are finally being appreciated. The Human Rights Museum is nearing completion. Now is not the time to drop the ball. As I pointed out, the population is young and growing and is already underserved by green space in comparison to other neighborhoods. The shrinking green space is under more pressure to serve a growing community of residents, while the province and city are doing everything to attract more families, as well as tourists and visitors to Waterfront Drive. If the city did not already own this piece of land, I would be appearing in front of you to appeal to the city to acquire it for public space. Since its highest and best use is simply to remain publicly owned and accessible to serve all the citizens of Winnipeg and our visitors. The report uses the term consultation to describe a small element of the process that got the proposal this far. This is another very weak aspect of the report. This level of consultation is far too limited to be relied upon for such a decision. What is more significant is that this is a responsibility of the city, not the developer, to assure that the citizens are willing to allow this development to proceed. I think that Winnipeg has had a banner year for new hotel announcements. It seems like an average of one every 6 days. By all means, build a hotel, just not on publicly owned riverfront property. A hotel that is well situated to take advantage of Winnipeg's rivers and in close proximity to the riverbanks is the Inn at the Forks. This structure is not wrapped along the shoreline where a path has to be diverted while tourists can have exclusive use of the riverbank for their bedrooms. This is a successful model, and the developer should recognize these qualities. Now, this riverbank has no natural conditions or habitat worth preserving. It is highly disturbed. However, it has another amazing value that is not even hinted at in the administration's report. That is Victoria Park. I will let others explain the unbelievable mistake of omitting this detail in the report. At a minimum, the report must be returned for additional information and a proper report on the heritage value be conducted by qualified historians. As a city, one of your responsibilities is to protect and to promote and exploit what is unique in our city's culture and history. The strike of 19 is barely recognized in Winnipeg, yet it is an event that puts Winnipeg on the global map. Still puts us on the global map. It is ridiculous that Winnipeg has failed in this regard. The city council bears the responsibility to do this. Mr. McGowan rightfully referred to this as a cultural district. What more culturally fitting is that description than for this park? And it's not Centre Venture's role to commemorate or exploit this type of cultural heritage. As one of thousands of examples of cultural destinations around the world, imagine our world if Pearl Harbor was made into a chic harbor with boutique hotels and cruise ships. That would be a failure on a global scale. It was the responsibility of that community not to fail to preserve their cultural heritage, especially when it has an international significance. Now it draws millions of tourists a year and fills hundreds of hotel rooms that are in the vicinity, not on top of the site. I find it absurd that so near to the Canadian Museum of Human Rights is a site that symbolizes the international struggle of labor rights and epitomizes the height of that movement on a few hundred square meters of public land that could become Winnipeg's umpteenth new hotel. In the end, our society will be defined not only by what we create, but what we refuse to destroy. I think that's a good quote for this opportunity. To sum up, I'd like to emphasize that the idea of relinquishing publicly owned riverbank property for any private development is unacceptable. It flies in the face of a shining example of urban development in sync with a riverbank demonstrated along Riverfront Drive. When the Dewar Legacy Provincial Park is built, this site will become the gateway to it and the Forks. This is too much for the city to give up. Consultation has not truly occurred, and for a decision of this magnitude, precedent-setting perhaps, and with the world-class developments occurring so near, a proper consultation process that reaches the citizens of Winnipeg must be conducted to confirm that citizens support this decision. If this committee makes the wrong decision today, it will send a message to developers that our public riverbanks, regardless of zoning, are for sale. All of the investors and homeowners who purchase homes nearby will be told that, again, regardless of zoning, what you think will remain valuable and rare green space could become a private development that devalues your investment and diminishes your community. It also sends a message to our international community about what Winnipeg values. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sandra, who do you have next?
Is there any questions?
Al Brown.
Wait a second. Sorry, just one quick question. So you would basically like to see, there's been some discussion for quite some time about this being developed commercially, as you heard said earlier. What do you see being developed there or happening there? Maybe would be a better word to say. If you oppose this, do you propose or does the group propose an alternative development right now?
Well, right now let's take the bullet out of the chamber. Let's not lose the opportunity. Let's stop and just wait. The piecemeal planning of this area is is why we're here. If there was a plan for the whole corridor, in sequence, and the riverbank continuity was respected,
And we do have a concept plan.
I think a hotel could be located off the riverbank property and just be as attractive to tourists and guests from around the world. It need not be on the riverbank property. I think that is the crux of what is being said here. You could fill the East Exchange and South Point Douglas with many hotels. None of them have to be on the riverbank itself. I can't think of any other hotel in Winnipeg that is on the riverbank. Not separated by significant land, sidewalk, and even the street. Hotel Fogarty, Inn at the Forks, Viscount Gort is about as close as you can. I can't think of any others. So why is this opportunity on city publicly owned land being done this way backwards? It doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Al Brownridge will represent our residents along the waterfront.
And Don Brown.
And Don. Sorry, Don.
What's your address, too, guys, for the record?
It's 300 Waterfront Drive. We live in the condos called the Strand, which is on the corner of James Street and Waterfront. I had prepared statements to make here, but I think I'm going to wing it after hearing these other presentations so far. We live right next door to the Sky. Our condo, the Strand, has got about 15 units. And I wouldn't exactly say our homeowners are really excited about a hotel. I mean, I guess I could have done some solicitation, but, I mean, there's a lot of people quite upset about the hotel. And I think we're an example of that. We basically sold a house in North Kildonan 3 years ago, moved downtown, and we were drawn to living downtown by what's happened on Waterfront. I mean, the city has done a spectacular job with Waterfront Drive. We went from over 3,000 square feet in North Kildonan to about 1,600 square feet on Waterfront Drive. We paid the same taxes, which is fine. The benefits we get from Waterfront are spectacular. The job that has been done there, I can't say enough, is fantastic. And you've got one little gravel parking lot right in the middle of two parks. So when the Sunstone gentleman said they're going to put a hotel between two parks, the question I had, why the heck wouldn't you green space it? Why the heck wouldn't you make one continual park that goes all the way from basically Higgins Avenue to the Forks, past the Historic Exchange District to the Human Rights Museum? And even if you want to connect up that walkway, you can make the case you've got the Museum of Man and Nature. You've got a beautiful historic walk developing. And that's been the result of private money. I mean, the Scottish groups have basically put up commemorative things along the way. There's things that commemorate the aqueduct, Old Ray's Creek. I mean, so as you walk along that walk, you see lots of interesting elements of Winnipeg's history. As a resident living right down there, it looks on the park every day, which is a very vibrant park, by the way. It's not full of homeless people. But what I see is the history of Winnipeg, and I see great use of the park by all kinds of people. Families who walk from Point Douglas. It's about a half-hour hike from Point Douglas into the Forks, and I see young families with kids, baby strollers. I see runners. I see bikers. On Canada Day, I saw at least three huge family picnics in Juba Park. This is one hell of a park, and to bang a hotel in there, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I think the people in the Sky basically are saying, we got a gravel parking lot, which is ugly, or we could have a hotel. And I guess if I was living in the Sky, maybe if the choice was only a gravel parking lot, I'd take the hotel. But it isn't. There's another alternative. It's a park. It's called Victoria Park, which I think is a great idea. So I would say, you know, forget the hotel, connect the green space, and build on the historical element of what is going on already. I guess that's probably all I can say, because I think other people lay out Victoria Park more articulately than I can do it, but I just think it's a no-brainer. I mean, you've got a long-term plan here that's been so successful, why mess with it? You put a hotel there, I think the risk you take, you run the risk of basically maybe curtailing to some degree further residential development down Waterfront. It's been a huge success, so why mess with it? The park has been a big factor. Number two, what if the hotel doesn't work out economically? What if it sits empty? What do you do then? Why was there a zoning change in 2005 to put that property back to Riverbank? Why was that? And then you go to park. Well, and then why would you go back, 6 years later to put it back to downtown living? I mean, you got to have long-term principles you hang your hat on, surely. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, that's it.
Any questions?
I've got a couple comments I'd like to make as well. I was at that residency exchange district meeting that was held back in May, and I know Mr.
Mr. Cody had said that there were no there was no opposition, there was no vote taken. But my understanding of that meeting is that it was an information meeting only. There were five different projects being discussed by four different developers. In my view, it was to sit and listen to what their plans are. It's not the venue to take a vote. It was not the venue to voice opposition.
I think that's what Mr. Cody said.
Well, I think he made the point that nobody took a vote against it, and there were no there was no opposition to it. But I was at the meeting. I was certainly opposed to it, but it didn't strike me as the venue to take that vote. So I just wanted to make that clear. Another point that I wanted to make was there's been much talk about the strike, and I happened to notice in June in the Golden Mail, which is a national newspaper, they had an article commemorating the Winnipeg strike. Nothing in the Winnipeg Free Press. There's really very little talk about in the city itself, and I just wanted to point out that it's a nationally recognized event, and I do support that cause, but if you want to pass that. And really, that's all I wanted to add to the comments.
I think Councillor Berlotti has a question.
Just one quick question. In terms of best planning for this, this green space, I mean, you guys live in the area, and we don't. I mean, I go down there, and it's beautiful. I have friends that live down there. But in the space between the ballpark and Higgins, do you see there being any future development on the Riverside Waterfront Drive, or should it all be pristine park?
Well, in my view, it should be pristine park. To me, that's one of the best things the city has done, is open up the riverbanks in the core area to the public. I think it enhances tourism. It enhances downtown living for residents. You're trying to encourage more people to live downtown. And I think it just makes our city look so much nicer. And I think that's been one of the best things the city has done.
So even a mixture of, like, you know, keeping it open to the public with walkways and some other type of residential and commercial development on that side, you're not for
it. I would be opposed to commercial development on the bank itself. I mean, we understand living downtown, it's mixed use. Mm-hmm. And there will be noise, there will be commercial development, but not on the riverbank. I mean, I think the city needs to protect that.
Can I submit this for this committee?
Sure.
So basically comments, so I'll leave that with you. Right here, or?
Yeah. Clerk will grab that.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Next speaking is Richard Milgram, head of the City Planning Department at the University of Manitoba.
Sorry. Couldn't get my printer to work this morning, so I'm going to have to use this. So I'm Richard Milgram. I live at 11 Evergreen Place, and as Sandy said, I am the head of the Department of City Planning at the University of Manitoba. I was going to make many of the same comments that have already been made, so I'm also going to sort of wing it a little bit, but I just want to pull up some quotes from city documents that are worth noting. I think my main concern that I'm going to come back to a number of times is that this rezoning sets a really bad precedent. And I'm certainly not opposed, as others have said, to the idea of boutique hotels or any kind of hotel in the Exchange District, and certainly not on the west side of Waterfront Drive. Like others, I've been impressed with what the city has managed to do on the waterfront in the last couple of decades. I mean, I think what's been going on in general on Waterfront Drive is terrific. It's the right thing to do. And on a personal note, before coming back to Winnipeg, I was away for a number of years. Before coming back, I lived in Minneapolis. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the waterfront setup in Minneapolis, but I mean, it is, as they say, a city of lakes. Waterfronts are very important in Minneapolis. There are no buildings on, except maybe occasional little pavilions, much like the Harbor Masters building, between the roads and the major lakes. And this is everywhere in Minneapolis, and it is such a community asset that it just shouldn't be underestimated. I mean, the number of people that are out on any day in Minneapolis, locals, tourists, people from elsewhere in the city enjoying the waterfronts is really amazing. And so on returning to Winnipeg and seeing Stephen Juba Park and thinking, wow, Winnipeg has finally done something really well in terms of urban design. And this just seems to be going back to the idea that if someone comes in with a proposal that might make some short-term economic gain for the city, we're going to change the zoning to suit that. And so that's sort of the overall context. In listening to some of the things that were said today, I want to actually offer a cautionary note to the city and to people on this committee that, I mean, a lot of what was described, and I have nothing against the proponents of this, I mean, you're trying to sell a project, I understand that. The architectural features and whether you're going to buy a smoothie or a beer are kind of irrelevant. I mean, that may or may not happen. And, you know, nothing against what the intent of the developers is. I mean, it may or may not be viable economically. It just may not happen. And we know from the history of development in the city in recent years that what shows up on the drawings is probably not what's going to get built. And again, not from any sort of bad intent on the developers. It's just things change as we go. It's a bad precedent, and Van Locke already addressed some of this, but the report that was written notes that a lot of that we really shouldn't be doing things in a piecemeal way. We should be sort of setting the groundwork so developers know what's going to happen and how things are going to be consistent over time. But of course, this is doing exactly what the report warns against. This is a piecemeal approach to rezoning and development, and it sets a bad precedent because once this happens here, it could happen all the way along the waterfront up onto onto Point Douglas and all the way north. So it's not a sort of precedent you want to set. I just wanted to pull out a couple of comments from city documents. Some these actually didn't show up in the planning report, and I thought they were important comments though. Center Plan, for instance, talks about the importance of the waterfront to downtown Winnipeg, and that 2.2 miles of riverbank of the downtown is accessible in the form of developed riverwalk system. The strategy that Center Plan calls for is to continue the progress made in establishing the Red and Assiniboine Rivers as special places and community assets in downtown. Now, it may well be that someone's going to allow people to walk through the property, but this project represents the privatization of a public asset, which might allow public access, but again, it's not public space. Upcoming documents that the city has been working very hard on for the last couple of years, like the Complete Communities document within its Parks, Places, and Open Spaces section, talks about, in its direction number 3, demonstrating the value of our environmental and cultural capital by protecting, enhancing, and restoring those natural and cultural park resources that are recognized as having historical, ecological, and aesthetic value. And again, these points have already been addressed, but the recommendation here is to maintain our ribbons of green, and it's actually capitalized, ribbons and green, riverbanks, urban street trees, green corridors, and provide a well-managed urban forest that contributes to air, water, environmental and aesthetic quality, and to protect and enhance public access to our riverbanks and forest environments and expand ecological networks and linkages. So, you know, one of the ways to repair bad environments is not to build hotels on them, but to, as others have said, turn them into good, green, ecologically functioning places. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through this. The other main point I wanted to make about this is really about understanding this as an urban design exercise. And when I'm talking about urban design, I'm talking about enhancing public spaces in the public realm. And a lot of what the report does and what others have done in speaking about this are talking about the park space as really being from the river to the sidewalk on the east side of waterfront. And we really need to be considering, and planning needs to be considering in general, the bigger picture. And that the public space is really from the street front on the west side of Waterfront Drive to the river. So we have to be understanding that the vitality that can happens from the development on the west side, which overlooks the east side. I mean, I actually was wondering as this was going on if development on the east side starts to undermine the viability of commercial development on the west side. Because suddenly that commercial development that's been planned in the mixed use isn't going to have views towards the river and towards the park. On all of these things, I've got that one. So I just wanted to go through a couple of things quite quickly from the report, one of them being that one. The report itself, I think, if this was written by one of my students, would come back heavily edited and be returned for some further research. There is a note in the beginning of the handout that a number of groups were consulted. There's nothing in the report that says what came out of those consultations. There's no evidence that anyone said anything in favor or against. There's just a series of assertions about what should be happening. So the consultation, and for anyone who needs a refresher course in consultation, the term alone doesn't mean very much, because I can go out and consult with anyone and then ignore them. Consultation is, you know, we don't want consultation that's just window dressing, so you can say you consulted. The report does state that this will result in a break in the continuity of our riverbank, and it will. I mean, despite the assertions of the developers that this is a building in the park, the building does take up most of the park at that point. It breaks the park. It's a north-south break. It talks about the need for private development that is integrated with the functions of public space, such as accessory restaurants and other things. And again, if we think of public space starting on the west side of Riverfront Drive, there's plenty of space for those sorts of amenities, just not within the park. All of those, that actually comes up a number of times in here, and I think it's something that needs to be understood in a more holistic way. And I think that goes back to one of the things that Dave started to talk about, which is the final recommendations. I actually had hot dogs in my original thoughts as well. Anything's a better use than a parking lot. So that's not particularly high praise. But I think, you know, that the issue of highest and best use, I mean, as a real estate term, it's about the return you get on the land. I think we need to look at the overall return and potential economic possibilities of the whole neighborhood, not just the one side. And if we're suddenly going to create a situation where developers are not sure what's going to be happening on the east side because this precedent has been set and they could build something and someone else could come in later and say, oh, we want to rezone it and put up a hotel or a stadium or, you know, whatever. People are not going to be as confident about developing on the west side. So we need to look at the economic potential for the whole neighborhood, not just individual sites. And that's the role of planning, and that's the role of this committee and of council to watch out for. I think I can stop there.
Any questions here? Gord?
The model that you seem to espouse, Professor, is that right, term, Professor?
Richard is fine. Richard.
the concept of no commercial development along the water, reconcile that with our development at the Forks.
The Forks is a special place. The Forks already exists. There is not, and it's also already designated as a public space. It's not a private space.
But it's hard to argue that the river access at the Forks is minimal and frankly underwater for much of the year.
Have you been to the Forks recently?
Quite a bit. But to say that there should be there's a lot of commercial development adjacent to the water.
Sure.
Right. Halifax, Vancouver, same thing. Lots of commercial development right up to the water. In fact, the public access is often along relatively narrow walkways that the public does access. I guess I would just put that to you sort of as a plain devil's advocate, that it does seem that other cities are using commercial development next to water to maximize the potential of that asset in their community.
Well, actually, your examples are interesting, because I would say that the closest parallel, and thinking back to some of the stuff that was being proposed on Point Douglas a while ago, would be Vancouver. And Granville Market and the Forks might be sort of similar, right? But the residential areas and the neighborhoods that come off that are actually set back more from the street, and there's public access on the waterfront side. They're not narrow bands. They're not walkways. They're actually quite wide.
Well, okay, they're walkways, though. They're certainly nowhere near as expansive or undeveloped as what we're talking about here. I mean, I guess my point is to suggest that we can't in some way combine the idea of commercial public use facilities and water access. To me, it seems a bit exclusive. Look at the most famous outdoor water experiences in Canada. We'll use Halifax. We'll use downtown Toronto. We'll use Vancouver, sort of the front along the convention center. All of these are intensely developed commercial areas that are used by hundreds of thousands of people each year. In fact, they flock there. Why does that model work in Vancouver, Toronto, Halifax, but wouldn't work here? Even though it does seem to be working in Forbes.
Well, I mean, first of all, we don't have the population density that those places have. I mean, what's going to make this a safer place is not a hotel. It's more people living there.
Fair.
If you want to get dense condo development and housing development on the west side of Waterfront Drive, people need to know for sure what's going to be on the east side of Waterfront Drive. And, I mean, it is a little bit of apples and oranges. I mean, I think Minneapolis is a much clearer example in terms of the density that's happening along those places, in those areas, that they become public amenities. And, I mean, I'm more concerned, frankly, with the sort of privatization of that space, that this becomes something that's under someone other than the public's control. I mean, you know, I'm losing my festival market terms, but the Forks is a publicly controlled space. It's commercialized, as in, you know, if you opened a restaurant in the Harbor Masters building now, which I would be fine with, actually. So I'm not, because that's
so you're
already
you're,
there's
you're
already
okay.
a building
you're
that's
okay
there.
With
you're
develop,
using a
with
building.
Developing this area to some extent commercially.
When and it sort of it ends up, that's a historic building that you're going to reuse. You're not building something new that's breaking this very strong continuity that already exists.
But I mean, is there, like, how do we discern limits? If what you're saying is, yes, commercial development certainly is a great thing to some degree. What you're saying is this is maybe a bridge too far. This is, you're in favor of developing these riverbanks commercially. You just think this is...
No, I'm in favor of developing Waterfront Drive commercially.
Okay.
The Harbor Masters building already exists, and I'm in favor of saving it, and saving it would require using it in some way.
Oh, I thought I heard you say you would be in favor of developing this existing building commercially.
If, well, I mean, it might be... I wouldn't be against it being a restaurant, the existing building.
Oh, okay. Well, that's commercial development.
Yeah, but it's an existing building. It's not, and it's an existing building that is actually historically part of the waterfront mm-hmm. and the riverfront. But I mean, I think it's also important, you know, that the mixed-use development on Riverfront Waterfront Drive right now is not thriving. I actually think this development will compete with that, and if more of that development is allowed to happen, the possibility of cafes that overlook the park is going to be undermined on the west side.
I look back historically at the city, and granted, these are difficult issues.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that. But this city went through a rather difficult time with the Forks development, different phases. When the hotel was built, I heard someone in delegation mention today what a positive asset the hotel is in the Forks. I can tell you that certainly wasn't the consensus at the time, where people were saying that was a horrible development for the Forks. So I guess I'm just trying to maybe make room for the idea that sometimes we have to combine commercial development to support public access. I mean, I would suggest to you respectfully that if we didn't do all of the commercial development that we've done in the Forks wouldn't be nearly as popular as it is today. My suggestion.
But if you have lots of commercial development on the west side of Waterfront Drive, there would be lots of people occupying that public open space on the east side of
Carton Course. It's a cart and horse, chicken and egg. You can argue it both ways.
No, well, actually, you can't, because, I mean, and the report and the city has been saying what we need is clear rules that developers understand. And if you're going to say, this should all be park, and then come in later and say, oh, no, maybe not.
Well,
why would I want to build on the west side if I'm not going to have my view of the park?
Fair enough. The issue is just to highlight the difficulties of the one-off aspects of these, because they are, you have to deal with these things. The hotel was difficult. The Human Rights Museum, although it's been... These things have been forgotten about now. It was also quite difficult at the time when talking about the potential building at that site. In retrospect, would our advice be to our citizens, you know, the hotel, the Human Rights Museum, the commercial development at the Forks, even though these were controversial things at the time, looking back in retrospect, did we make the right decision?
You're comparing apples and oranges. The Forks is a regional and national destination.
Okay.
For the most part, Waterfront Drive is a neighborhood that's also used by other people in the city.
Okay.
And they're very different things.
Richard, I want to make two points with you before you leave. One is I'd like to offer you an opportunity to apologize to our planning department for the comments you made about the report. These people work very hard in a very complex environment. They're internationally recognized for the quality of their work. I'd like to give you at least the opportunity to apologize.
Well, I have to say I apologize to Curtis in advance of the meeting because I knew he'd written it and said that I was...
I don't think the comments were fair, and I don't think to be publicly cutting down our planning department, who are, again, internationally recognized for the quality of work and the work that we're doing here in Winnipeg, I certainly don't appreciate it, and just give you the opportunity. No, that's fine.
I will apologize if my terminology was a little harsh. I do not think it's a strong report.
Okay.
And I don't see why I shouldn't say that.
That's fine. You're entitled to do that. The only other question I have for you is, how do you reconcile your comments today with your choice of where you live at 11 Evergreen Place, which is a commercial or residential condo development that goes straight down to the river?
I didn't build it.
But
you know how few places
there
are to rent in this city? You want to open up? That's, you know.
No, but I mean, you believe in your principles as a planner.
One of my favorite things about
Mr.
living
Chairperson,
here is that
I think you're getting a little personal about where he lives. I think that's inappropriate.
I think it's important to realize.
Chairman, it's okay.
I just think it's ridiculous.
One of the things I like about my neighborhood is that when the water level is low enough, I can walk along the river to the Forks.
I just think you lose a lot of credibility when you come here living on a piece of waterfront property that is not open to the public, but yet you argue that you should.
Mr. Chairperson, I'd like to apologize to the delegation for the way they've been treated by the chairperson. Just
You're
put that
more
on
than
the record.
Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Do that.
I will.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, Richard, that you have that.
Are we clear that he knows the vacancy rate in this city?
Absolutely.
There are not many choices.
Very good. You can, Jeff?
Thank you. You talk about the desirability of the west side of Waterfront Drive. Again, there's a lot of unique one-off situations. What about the whole parcel of land between the ballpark, for example, and Sir William Stevenson or former Water Street? Would that be appropriate for some type of development?
I'm trying to imagine that.
There's a section of green space, I guess, at the moment, between like the Provence Bridge.
On the east side of the river. I mean, on the east side of Waterfront.
On the east side of Waterfront Drive. There is no developable land on the west side because there's the ballpark.
Well, there's a parking lot, so we'll talk. That's a different issue.
Would that be appropriate to have some type of...
Well, there's all sorts of reasons why that's inappropriate. One being that it's outside the flood zone. It's outside the flood protection. And I wouldn't...
I don't think it's much lower than the Canadian Museum for Human Rights land. But.
Well, the actual flood line is Waterfront Drive.
Okay.
That's the
secondary
dike line. And now, I mean, I think that the city wall is the west side of Waterfront Drive. Now, the Forks is a different entity. I mean, it's also already been here.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is actually the important
But in terms of predictability of the other side, that's not it doesn't play into it. I just think it's unique and different and could be also a developable site.
Mr. Chair,
please finish. I got you, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Jenny?
I was just going to say, I think what I'm hearing you're trying to say, and there's been a number of comparisons with Halifax and other places. Like, I spend quite a bit of time in Halifax, and there's an incredibly wide public access space that you can pretty much walk along the whole waterfront. Plus, it's a harbor, so there's ships coming and going, so it's a little bit different. But when I look at the map in the report, you see, is the concern you're expressing this break in the continuity of right along the riverbank side of it, there's suddenly it's private space. Is that the main point you're trying to make? That it's
and that it sets a bad precedent
control?
That someone else could now come along and say that they want to do that further up the river. And, you know, what we should be doing is dedicating that whole edge to public access.
Okay, thank you. Right. Yeah, I just wanted to...
Just a point of clarification, just so I'm clear. Does this development prohibit someone walking through...
No, that's part of the presentation that was made, that corridor is maintained.
That's what I thought I heard.
At least that's what I saw, and I think that's what the report
says.
But
as far as I can understand, it's private. It will be walking over private property.
The land is owned by the city. This is a lease arrangement.
Yes.
And the access and easement is maintained there in perpetuity.
So just so we're clear, 100% clear. People will be able to access and walk through the property.
I think, Gord, we'll get into that when the administration gets up after. We'll get that detail out.
Fair enough. Just want to make sure.
Thank you. Sandra, you're the last of your group?
Yes. They put me last because I'm fairly passionate about the historic significance, and we wanted to make sure all the other points got made. But make no mistake, I want to appeal to both your hearts and your minds, because I think there's good rationale for respecting the historic site. My name is Sandra Gessler, and I live at 2J Place here in Winnipeg. And I have come here today to speak against the rezoning application because the property in question is the last remnant of the former historic Victoria Park. Many of you might not know much about Victoria Park, but over the next few minutes, I hope to share with you why this site is so important, why it's worth saving, and that it has real economic potential. I'm part of a citizens group, the members of already, Friends of Victoria Park, and as an alternative to the hotel proposal, we are suggesting the development of a period-style heritage park that would have certain amenities to capture the feel of that period. A small bandstand, a coffee shop. We also intend to develop Harbor Master House as a coffee shop. And historic installations that will tell the story of the great events that took place in and around Victoria Park in the early 1900s. I want to stress we're not against the hotel, but we believe there are other sites, other options for siting the hotel, but there is no other authentic property for this commemorative heritage park. I hope to convince you of the economic potential of developing our heritage park as a cultural attraction for this city. On May the 15th, 1919, an extraordinary event took place in our city, very near where we are today. If you look out these windows, you'd see any of the blocks and streets where some of the events occurred. It garnered attention and newspaper coverage around the world, not only because of the scope and duration of the event, but because it was peaceful and passive. Few Winnipeggers know that detail. At least it was peaceful right up until the end. I'm, of course, referring to the Winnipeg General Strike. The strike itself is only one part of the story, just as important as context, precipitating factors, and the outcomes. The Winnipeg General Strike is known throughout the world for its influence on human rights and social reform. Many visitors to Winnipeg know about the strike and are shocked that it's invisible and not well known in our own community. As an example, your own administrative report in its section on history makes no mention of Victoria Park. During the 6 weeks of the strike, 30,000 unionized and non-unionized workers walked away from their jobs, exercising the only power that they had, withdrawal of their labor. What would make 30,000 men and women, mostly poor immigrants, walk away from their only source of income? At the heart of it, they were protesting deplorable working and living conditions, starvation wages, and often unsafe workplaces. Most lived in the North End, which, by the way, at the time was also a CPR town or Little Jerusalem. But whatever you called it, it was already synonymous with extreme poverty and with poorly constructed and crowded housing. In most cases, the strikers simply had nothing left to lose. One of the few respites from the drudgery of their lives was a little park called Victoria Park, 1.6 acres in size, built in the 1880s, just off of Main Street, across from City Hall, and running all the way down to the Red River. This is where they rallied during the strike, as no indoor space could accommodate the large crowds. It's vital that this property be retained as public parkland and be developed as a heritage site to creatively and accurately tell our story now and for generations to come. This is a great opportunity for the city to use this land and be far-sighted, set history straight, honor our past, and benefit from the economic potential of cultural tourism. And on that point, I think it's really important for you to take that into account. Cultural tourism is the fastest growing segment of the tourist industry. According to the Canadian Tourism Research Institute, the trend in tourism is away from sun and sand vacations and toward cultural destinations. Baby boomers, who are living longer and healthier lives, and are traveling more, and so are their well-educated children. And they are seeking to experience the history of time and place, but it has to be authentic. Tourism is a $26 billion industry in Canada and rapidly growing. $12 billion of that goes to all levels of government. Visiting historic sites is the third most popular tourist activity after shopping and outdoor endeavors. According to the American Travel Association, cultural travelers stay longer and spend more than other travelers, and they represent 40% of all tourism expenditure. There are plenty of examples of communities that have seen significant economic gains from developing cultural and historic sites. Connecticut developed one small site very similar to our proposal and realized a 10-to-1 return on their investment. There are other examples which I won't take the time to. Heritage sites require relatively small investments, are usually clean and green, and place minimal demands on infrastructure, so the direct and indirect payoffs can be substantial. In short, heritage sites are potential gold mines. The Harbor Master and Alexander Dock properties are our heritage, but they are a vulnerable cultural resource. Protected and properly developed, they can be a great asset to this city, enhancing our international reputation, promoting civic pride, and economic growth. The 100th anniversary of the Winnipeg General Strike is coming up in 2019, and that would be an excellent goal for unveiling the park. I ask you to negotiate with the developer for another site, a non-Riverbank Greenway site, somewhere across Waterfront Drive. The views will be just as good, if not better, from a little distant vantage point. And I'm sure our park will appeal to hotel customers. So why not do both? The fate of this property is in your hands. It's your choice and your decision. But we will all live with the irrevocable consequences for generations to come. If you choose to destroy the property's historic value, you will be missing an important opportunity, an economic opportunity, as well as an opportunity to showcase our unique history that up until now has been invisible. I want to emphasize that a plaque or a park bench will simply not do. They cannot do justice to tell this story that needs to be told. The best case scenario is a thriving heritage park that adds vibrancy to the local neighborhood, adds to the city's attractions, complements the new Museum of Human Rights, brings new business to local restaurants and shops, and adds wonderful amenities for residents and tourists, along with a hotel, but across the road. A hotel hopefully designed to reflect the history of the locale. That would truly be a win-win-win situation for all. In time, although smaller in scale, Victoria Park, along with the other historic sites along the River Greenway, could become part of our brand, a symbol of our city's history and character, similar to Central Park in New York, Stanley Park in Vancouver, or Hyde Park in London. Alternatively, if the hotel proceeds on this land, this will become another sad chapter in the story of the strike era, and our children will wonder how we let this happen. Here's the emotional part that I couldn't leave without. We stand on the shoulders of those who helped to build our province and this city. As immigrants, they left their homes and everything they knew to come to a strange land and a booming new western city. Most brought little else but hope, a willingness to work hard, and the strength of character to take a stand when it was vital to do so, in reference to the strike. How can we not commemorate their courage and properly recognize what they achieved? Those achievements are the very foundation of what you and I enjoy today in this city. Thank you.
Any questions, Ian? No? Okay, you can stand down, Senator. Okay, I have a number of other folks here registered in opposition. I'll call your name. If you wish to come up, you're more than welcome to come up, or if you just want to be recorded in opposition, you can also do that. Glenn Mikulchuk?
No, I would just like to be recorded in opposition.
Thank you, Glenn.
And I'd just like to support Senator's words, if I may, because I'm part of the
community. Okay. Next, I have Michael Stevens.
I will try not to...
You can sit down, Michael. You don't have to stand.
Okay. I'll try not to repeat the points that have already been made, most of which I agree with. I and my wife have been committed to this area downtown for the last 30 years. We bought warehouses and run businesses, and we are very, very strong believers in the development of this city, the central part of the city. Like any other prairie city, Winnipeg does not possess a lot of natural features which it can capitalize on. And that necessarily means that the river system that we have is that much more valuable. And the city has begun to realize that. We have a history of squandering this resource. Most of it was privately developed, and we have very few areas left, particularly in the downtown area. And this is one, probably the most important one, after the Forks. The developments so far have been somewhat overzealous in our estimation. The Forks land has been overbuilt in the parts of near the river. And the waterfront development, while spectacular in its own right, because the buildings are so close to the street and because they're so tall, has created something of a ghetto behind them to the west. And if you want to see what can happen when you develop all along the riverbank, just go down Wellington Crescent, at the beginning of which we have a whole slew of high-rises, and it's another ghetto, and nobody would know there's actually a river behind there. Unless they actually knew it from being there. I think Winnipeg City has begun to realize that it has a responsibility to preserve what is left of the access to the river for the public. And specifically, we're dealing with the waterfront park, Duba Park, and its extensions. And I might also mention things like Bonnie Castle Park on the Assiniboine River, where the community club is, the old community centre may be developed, and our opinion should be extended into the park. And there may be more pressure to develop along the Taché Avenue on the north St. Boniface side, where Taché runs along the river, and the bank there to the west of Taché, between the road and the river, is owned mainly by the city and is zoned for park. But there are lots of rumblings that high-rise people want to move in there too. I think the city has to draw a line somewhere, and I think this particular rezoning is such a line. It's going to say either we are going to keep our parks and we are going to develop the bank, or it's going to say, it's okay, we'll let developers take over little bits here and there, and we don't really mind. One of the great tragedies of the city here is the total neglect of Point Douglas. The Point Douglas River bank system would make a wonderful park, but it's been totally neglected for decades, and it's just a garbage tip, and indescribable. And there's no access to the riverbank there. There should be parks, and it's a tragic waste. I beg the committee to draw the line on this park and make sure that it is kept for the future use of all the future generations. I'm too old now, it doesn't matter much to me, but it will matter to our kids and our grandchildren that this park be preserved and developed in such a way that it should be a property of all citizens. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, Michael. Next on my list, I have Donnie and Judy Moschuk.
Where's the boundaries in this park?
Thank you. And Ellie Martins. Ellie here? If you're going to make representations, you got to do it here so it gets recorded.
Where's the park?
Stephen, it's 1919 Strike Park, the Victoria Park.
I'm a resident of Sky Condos. I'm on the second floor facing the river. So I object to this because my entire view of the river would be gone. And I was told when I bought in 07 that it would be green space. So I'm living downtown, looking at the river. It's beautiful. But if there's a hotel blocking my entire view, then I will be moving. So as far as value on the west side.
No questions? Thank you, Ellie. That's the last person I have here listed in opposition. Is there anybody here to appear in opposition that hasn't registered yet? You need to fill a form out. Mark, can you get the gentleman a form so we can... You've made representation, you can't... there's an order we go in here and a process we have to follow. It's a quasi-judicial process.
Why don't you
process.
Hear what he's just asking?
He's already been called.
He's already been called.
Okay.
And listened
all right,
to. We're not going to break the process.
Okay. Maybe you need
so this is in opposition, John? Is that... John, you can come up. John Perrin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I don't have a prepared presentation this morning. I certainly want to acknowledge agreement with the previous presenters, but I'm here this morning on behalf of the Scottish Heritage Council of Manitoba, Incorporated. I'm the founding interim chair of that organization. It's a recently established organization here in the city of Winnipeg, representing Scottish organizations around the province, including organizations such as Manitoba Living History Association, the Manitoba Highland Dance Association, the Folkorama Scottish Pavilion, the St. Andrews Society of Winnipeg, and a number of other Scottish organizations. I'm sure the members of this committee are aware that immediately north of the Alexander Docks is located the Scott's Thistle Monument, which is was installed there in the mid-90s before Waterfront Drive went through, and is the site of Fort Douglas, which was the first Hudson's Bay Company fort located at the Forks near the city of Winnipeg. Next year is the bicentenary of the establishment of the Red River Settlement by Lord Selkirk and the first Scottish settlers. And the area in the Alexander Docks vicinity, and of course north through the Kildonans, was the site of the Red River Colony, and was in fact the beginning of the city of Winnipeg and the province of Manitoba as a European settled agricultural economy based civilization. The anniversary next year is of great importance. The Prime Minister of Canada has referred to the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, the commemoration of the War of 1812, and the establishment of the Red River Colony as the three most important national historic events next year. And so it's clear that this is a very important site in the history of Western Canada and Manitoba and the city of Winnipeg. And we have made common cause with the Victoria Park Committee because we believe that the entire area from Victoria Park through the Thistle Monument and north along the green space along the Red River is Winnipeg's most historic site, even more important in terms of the history of Winnipeg than the Upper Fort Garry site. Since it precedes Upper Fort Garry and was Fort Douglas was the residence of the governor of Assiniboia prior to the governor relocating to Fort Garry. So I don't think I need to go on about it. I think that this area should be celebrated by Winnipeggers as the very beginning of the city of Winnipeg, and we believe that both the establishment of the Red River Colony and the 1919 general strike are seminal events in the cultural, economic history of Winnipeg and ought to be preserved. I think just about any other city in the world that pays attention to planning and pays attention to the importance of its history would be preserving this area for future generations undeveloped, except to in the acknowledgement of its heritage importance. Thank you.
There's a question here. Councillor Bawadi.
Sure. What is on this Victoria Park site right now that you want to see preserved exactly?
Well, we're working with the Victoria Park Committee in terms of trying to sort out what perhaps ought to be there going forward. Our first goal was to try to prevent any development on the site, and this we obviously had no control over.
But there's nothing physically there today. I mean,
well, we've talked about the Harbour Master building between
right.
us,
okay.
And we've thought about some possibilities for that building, but we don't have a formal proposal on that at this point.
Okay, cool.
Other questions? You can stand down, John.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's the last person I believe we have here in opposition. I have two people here for information. First, I have Shirley Hill. Shirley, would you like to speak? Or you're good? Okay, thank you. And also, I have for information Tran Nguyen. Tran, you're okay? If you're going to speak, you have to come up to the front to make a comment.
I'm sure it's important, Justin, before we finish. Like, after we finish.
Hello, my name is Tran Nguyen, and I live at Sky Condominiums. Well, I really just came here for information today, and I really wasn't aware of what it entitled this meeting. And I guess from just thinking of whether or not I should have come today, I kind of thought, was I in opposition or was I in support of the building? And to be honest with you, I had hoped for more information with this meeting that we're having. I was hoping more not for whether or not we're going to go with the hotel development, but if we're not going to go for the hotel development, what we were going to do with the area, because it seems to be standing still at the moment. And I'd just like to hear just some alternative solutions, maybe just not why we can't have that, but what we can do about it. More information from opposition. I understand the historic importance of the area, and I completely agree, but I'd also like to see what they have to say in terms of what they can do to preserve it, as well as enhance I heard someone had mentioned, too, that the young community that we do have there, and I do believe that Winnipeg is growing, and we have a lot more young professionals staying within the city as opposed to leaving, so it's something of concern for me to know what the future entails for an area that's so thriving with a lot of young professionals. And I think that's maybe something I would just suggest for the next meeting, maybe just more alternative solutions to what might be the outcome in the future.
I think you'll see when we get the administration up, they'll talk some about the history of this site and how we came to be. This is, you know, this is a process of formal application to rezone to accommodate this particular request. But this parcel of land has been out there trying to get something done with it for quite a number of years, and we'll get the administration to comment on that when they come up.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think what we'll do is we'll... And some of the members of the committee are eager to get a break in here. What we'll do is we'll have a break now.
Just really short, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll hear the other side in rebuttal, the proponent in rebuttal, and we'll get deal with the rest in a few minutes. So 5 minutes, quick break.
We're going to just have the administration.
I don't think that works.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't know for sure.
I'll just run downstairs and really quickly.
Is that working in there?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you.
I don't know. I thought we were shutting down.
I left it. I left that.
Did I say the water's on? Okay, so we've got two people in opposition who lives on property to go right through. I know the sad part about this is what's his name? Zimmer's proposal.
Yeah.
Didn't require rezoning.
Oh, yeah.
It's an accessory use.
Yeah.
So you could build that type of structure there. It's the only thing that causes a rezoning.